kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share and talk about faith today. And we always find that we don't go very far in our walk when God brings us back to believing, to faith, and to learn yet more about our faith, which, remember, is a gift that God has given to us, because without faith, we will not in any way respond to God. And I've got a title today for this teaching. We're calling this Passive or Active Faith. Passive or Active Faith. I think we're learning, aren't we, that our faith can be a blessing. And it's indeed a blessing that he's brought us under the Deeper Light teaching, and that he constantly addresses our believing, our faith, our trust in him and in the word and in his promises. We are very, very blessed, I believe, because I'm not always sure that a lot of our brethren in churches are reminded as much as we are. But I want to talk today about a passive or an active faith. And our faith can be a blessing, and it can also be a hindrance. You see, what we believe is very important. And if we're not believing correctly, or we've got some things wrong, then our understanding of faith can be a hindrance. And sadly, I think that's why it's not as popular as it could be, because a lot of faith is not biblical faith. It's a passive faith that is often taught. But we have to have an active faith if we are to really understand what faith and walking by faith is about. You see, what do we mean by a passive faith? Well, you could go and ask a lot of people and you could say, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Look at the world. Look at the sky. Look at his creation. Yes, I believe in God. And it's very important that we believe. But that is a passive side to faith. You see, you can ask people, does God heal today? And they say, well, I believe God can heal if he wants to. But he does what he wants to do. And many will say he can heal. Many will say, yes, God can do whatever he wants to do. After all, he's God. But that's still a passive statement and thinking. You see, we've got to move from the passive into the active. You see, many people are passive because it doesn't require me to have to take a step of faith. And you see, that is the difference. And only those who see that faith is to be acted are the ones who start to grow and mature in the house of God. And they are the sons of God. the overcomers, the bride that's making herself ready. How can the bride make herself ready if she has simply a passive faith? She has to have a faith that is active. The church has been blessed with faith to be active, and that's why the church, the body of Christ, moves forward with those spiritual feet, proclaiming the gospel with the signs following of healing, deliverance, salvation. Our Lord and Saviour Jesus came with not just a passive faith, but an active faith. And I want to bring our attention today to a story that you know very well in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and verses 1 to 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. And here we have the story of the man healed at the pool of Bethsaida. And let's take it up, and then we'll break it down and allow the Spirit to interpret. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool which is called in the Hebrew Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there, he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, Who was cured? It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said this to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who he was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. We're talking today about a passive or an active faith. This is something that is wonderful, really, here. We see so much of our Lord's ministry, his compassion and his mercy. And it's a story that we all know very well. But we're talking today about this passive or active faith. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians, because they're in bondage in their churches or what they believe, they're not really able to have an active faith. What do I mean by that? Well, one of the things that kills faith in a church is legalism. Trying in any way to bring God's people under the law, or to bring the law and try and make it into grace. In other words, they mix around with the word of God. And you should never do that, because we're told that faith comes by hearing the word of God. What do I mean by this? Well, you have got a group today who think that Christians should never drink alcohol. It's forbidden. It's sinful. It can lead to being an alcoholic. It's a bad witness, and so on. And you've got a lot of Christians who think and believe like that. Let's take it even a step further. You've got Christians who, if there is a Christian that still is battling with smoking, then you won't make it into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot be a Christian and smoke. It could be the same with somebody who is battling with drugs and coming off drugs. Can you see now where this all leads? We're talking today about having a passive or an active faith. You see, those who criticize, those who try to make the word of God legalistic, to bring you under the law, they are those that often have a passive faith. Well, God is able. God is able to take that person off drugs or smoking, or if they've got an alcohol problem or whatever it is. They would admit that God's able to do that, but they lack the faith to minister, or maybe to be used in which to cast out, which is possibly a demon that is oppressing. You see? And this is the problems that we have in Christendom today. And it's the same with faith. Most things in life comes with a warning. Everything, if you go over in excess, is a warning. Life is a warning. What you sow, what you reap, depends on learning those warnings. You can overeat and be a glutton. That's a warning. You can overexercise. You can go overboard. Many I see at times at the gym are driven by spirits. That is overboard. You can go overboard studying. There's a warning with everything in life. And that's why I so often keep saying the Christian walk, living in this life, is about balance. And some get it and some don't. And it's the same with faith. We have to believe that there is a passive side to our faith. Yes, our belief, our confession. And there is the active side of our faith, where we step out of the boat and we walk on the water when required, when we hear Jesus say, come, or when our faith is required to be acted upon, you see. So, bearing that in mind, let's look now at what's going on here. And so, taking it up, verse 3, he says, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the waters. So there is this pool here in Bethsaida with the five porches, and at times there is a stirring of the waters. And they found that they can be healed. So, of course, this attracts much of the sick, those that are paralyzed, the blind, the lame. Why are they there? Because they want to be healed. There's something about those waters that heals. So it's no good just them thinking in a passive sense, oh yes, well, those waters move and people get healed. They have to do something. They have to start acting, getting there. Notice some of them are paralyzed. So obviously people had to carry them there. So there's people in a desperate state in this situation. It's not a nice sight, what we're seeing here. And this can be a bit controversial, or what's going on here. I'm told that some of the ancient manuscripts leave out the moving of the water. But we have what we have. We have what we have here in the Word of God. And I don't believe that God's made any mistake over his Word. But it is controversial. And it says that an angel comes down, verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whosoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, that word, angel, in the Greek is angelos, and it is an angel. It is a messenger, an envoy. It's one who is sent. And we know also that angels come to minister. They can come to guard, to serve. We know that angels have great wisdom and knowledge. And God can do whatever he wants. You cannot limit God what he does. And there are things sometimes in life that are difficult to explain. But God is on the throne. I'm reminded of my mother, who had several encounters with angels. And she wasn't always aware at first. I remember the first one when she came back from shopping and she took, a shortcut across some farmland on the roads or whatever. And that day coming back, there was tremendous gales, really strong winds. And she wasn't going terribly fast, but she was motoring in the car, and suddenly this large, huge willow tree fell straight onto the road. And she was probably about 80, 100 yards from this. And she immediately started to put her brake on and confess the blood of Jesus. And she watched this huge tree that fell over go straight back up to the position where it was. And I remember she came in and she was stunned. And she had to almost pinch herself to see whether she was awake or asleep. And she said, "Kim, I've just seen a miracle. This tree came straight over. I could have actually gone into it. And then it went back up, as I said, the blood of Jesus." And she said, "I went past slowly to look. And there the tree stood firm." A miracle. And then on another occasion, she came back. She had been in the town and she decided she would go into a cafe because she wanted a drink. And she sat there with her back to the door with other rows of tables and people there. And then this person came, fairly elderly, and sat on the table opposite her. And my mother looked up and she said, "I couldn't take my eyes off her. The love that just came from her eyes." She was an elderly lady. And she said to my mother, she said, "Do you know that the Lord Jesus is coming very soon?" And I believe also she said that you all need to prepare and be ready. And my mother said, yes, I do believe that the Lord is coming. And she got up and I think she said, you have a nice day. And as she walked past, my mother turned round to see who this was, and there was nobody there. Again, God can move in ways past finding out. And so here we have a situation of where the waters are being stirred. There's an angel that goes down and stirs these waters. And many of them try to get in to be healed. And it says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That is in verse 5. Now, we need just to understand again what infirmity means. To be infirmed is some physical or mental weakness. Old age can be the same. One can be infirmed. So it's always connected with a lack of strength. You haven't strength maybe in your legs or in your arms, or you can't get up, you can't walk. This is the idea of being infirmed. And we know that infirm spirits can be cast out of people. So there it says this man was there, he was paralyzed, he was infirmed. And it says then, and when Jesus saw him laying there, and he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, so the Lord was looking at this man, and he's getting like a word of knowledge. God is communicating to him and showing him he's been in this state for a very long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? Well, you could say, well, what a question. Does he want to be made well? You see, Jesus always placed it back to the person he's going to heal. Why is he doing this? Because he's watching and listening. Is their faith going to be passive or active? He could have said, no, I'm quite happy. I've been like this for 38 years and I don't really know any different, and it's the way I am. No, he didn't say that. The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. So he's acting his faith, he's trying to get there, but can you imagine what it was like when those waters were stirred? There was absolute desperation. You've got sick, infirm people crawling over one another, desperate to get into those waters. I would think it was a most awful sight. Dreadful to look at, so pitiful. They're so desperate to be healed, and this man can't do it. He's trying to get there, but he just can't. They're beating him to it, or they're crawling over him. You can just see the whole scene going on here. But Jesus asked him a question, and he's watching for his confession. He's seeing that he is active. He wants to be healed. He's making an effort, but his infirmity just stops him. And here is the compassion and mercy of our Heavenly Father. We're seeing here just some of Jesus's ministry. What he's doing here, how he healed, how he was moved by compassion and so forth. There's so much that's recorded about what Jesus did, but the Bible tells us that not all of what Jesus did is even recorded. How do we know this? Look in John 21, verses 24, 25. John, the Gospel of John, 21, 24, 25. This is the disciple who testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written about him, in other words. I mean, that is just mind-boggling, isn't it? That you could write as many books as you want, and there are myriads of books, but it will not contain all that he did. We tend to forget that, those two last verses about our Lord and his ministry. And how long did his ministry last? Just 3 years. So it's mind-boggling what's taking place here. But this is important enough to record this, as well as many others. Things that he did as well. And that's why Jesus said that if you can believe, all things are possible. We have to take the limit off our Lord. Whatever your situation, whatever your plight, whatever you're going through, all things are possible. And if you are still passive in your faith, your belief, then ask him to have this active faith and he will start to work it. Yes, you'll be tried, you'll be tested, but God will do it. That's the whole point. There are situations where our faith is turned from the passive to the active. We know this sometimes. Sometimes the trials of our faith turn it from being passive into active, because you have to step out. You have to do something in accordance to your faith and the word of God. I'm reminded of the woman with the issue of blood. Sought the physicians for all those years trying to get healed. But she knew if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. She was turning her faith from passive to active. She moved. And of course, she shouldn't have been in a situation. She was unclean. So she was taking a risk. But she touched the hem of his garment, and he knew that virtue had gone from him. He knew somebody had been healed. He knew somebody had stepped out in faith and acted their faith. And this is why God uses points of contact. The point of contact for her healing was the hem of his garment. The point of contact for the healing of these people, the paralyzed, the blind, the lame, and so forth, was the waters. It's not the waters, it's the movement. It moves their faith. So if they have faith in God, faith to believe, they were healed. And that's the story of what this is about. This is why they use things at times. Sometimes they pray over a cloth and lay it on the sick person. We've done this at times. Or it says, call for the elders and they will anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the sick will be raised. We know the healing isn't in the oil or in the cloth. It's simply a point of contact that quickens the faith. But it's not only that, it's showing an active move of faith. It's not just simply saying, oh, the Lord can heal him or heal her. No, sometimes you have to move in faith as the Spirit leads. There are too many at times with this passive idea, well, I believe in God, I believe he's able. I believe the Bible, I believe he wrote it. Yes, fine, good. But it's got to be active at times. And often it takes a point of contact to release that faith. That's why you move out in faith. And that moving out in faith is actually, in a sense, like a contact. It's a movement, a physical movement, you see. We see this. Let's look back in verse 8. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." So an active move of faith is required. He has spoken the word over this man in verse 8. He now has to move in accordance. And immediately, there's no delay. He's not thinking, well, I've been here all these years. I don't know any difference. No, he is determined to walk, whatever it is. That is his faith, that is his thinking, that is his mind, that is his heart, that is his desire. He's consumed with it. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. There we are, an active faith. He couldn't get down to the waters. He tried that. And the Lord saw this, you see. But this is also the mercy of God. Thank God for his mercy and grace, that he doesn't give up on us. And that he's looking for these steps of faith in us. And that's why the Spirit always works first within. And where does he work first within? The sowing of the seed into the heart. And when the seed is sown into the heart, it's sown into the heart for the purpose to act and move upon. And eventually it would outwardly be seen. And that's why we make much about the heart, what is in the heart, because the heart is the issues of life. But if there's unbelief in the heart, that unbelief is going to come out. And we know it comes out in our confession and in our actions. But God doesn't give us any rest. And I thank the Lord for that. That's why we keep coming. That's why God has put us into this assembly, for the purpose that he won't give us any rest until all these areas in our life that glorify him are active and not passive. And he'll do it, and he is doing it. Because the outward has to eventually be seen. That's why Jesus said, "By the fruit you know them." You don't know. If you've got a lot of trees in an orchard, you're not always quite sure what those trees are. They could be plum trees, apple trees, pear trees, peach trees, almonds, you name them. But when the fruit starts to form, then you know what type of tree and fruit it produces. And that's exactly what God is doing with us. It's called the many members in the body of Christ, an ear, an eye, an arm, a leg, and so forth. And you can put that over into the fruit as well. So it has to be seen, but it's first sown in the heart. And that's why we keep saying that faith comes by hearing this word. And this crippled man was in an impossible situation. like he puts us in. Our steps of faith is impossible in the natural. So why does that take us still by surprise? Why is it not now, after all these years, when we see it, we're in an impossible situation, that we can start to praise God and say, Lord, this is you. This is your hand at work. I know you're going to do something because it's impossible in the natural. And then God starts to work, doesn't he? And sometimes we have to get into warfare, or we have to spend time with him to remove those areas of doubt and unbelief that's trying to stop us from stepping out in faith. You see, something that the Lord's been revealing to me, the Lord has to see a reflection of himself in us. And what is that reflection? Our believing in his word. Then he moves heaven and earth. If he's not seeing that reflection yet, he warns us. He starts to show us. And then he gets our attention. And then we have to come aside. Maybe it requires prayer or fasting or whatever it is, because God is not seeing a reflection of himself in me. It is me that is in control. It is me that is anxious and worrying. It is me that he's seeing and not himself, his word. This is why we keep telling you that faith is a rest. When you are resting by faith, that is a clear sign the Lord sees himself, his reflection. He is never going to answer or bless where he cannot see his image, his reflection. Trust me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is why I keep making so much that Christ must be birthed in us, in our flesh. And that is what he's doing now. That is the apostolic anointing of faith. That is what it produces. Christ in us. That he sees himself in us. And then you have that assurance. You know that he has answered your prayers. You know that he has heard you. So the crippled man going back, we see then that it was an impossible situation, but at the word he hears, he rises up and he takes his bed. He didn't just say to him, rise up and walk. He said, rise and take your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well. And what did he do next? He also took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Now, a lot of people would want to get up and walk and think, I don't want this bed anymore. It's too much of a reminder of when I was a cripple. No, he did exactly as commanded. He didn't alter it. You see, you have these things here, but it's so easy, isn't it, to overlook a statement like that. And when God speaks, we do exactly as he says. We don't question. But you have to come to that place of faith to believe. And so he obeyed the command of the Lord and he was made whole. And we note the Lord isn't around when he gets up. Look, God has just performed a miracle. This man is made well. Praise the Lord. And getting the people's attention, just like we see so in these videos at times in crusades where somebody is supposed to get up and walk and all the lights and the cameras and everyone is screaming and shouting and looking and so forth. No. That's all hype. So much of that is entertainment and people fall for all of that. No, it says the Lord disappeared, but he met him later. Many times when the Lord healed and they all could see what was happening and going on and there was a stir of the people and they would say, well, where's the one that healed you? Gone, disappeared. There's a reason. Because he wasn't going to take the glory. He was giving the glory to his Father. And that is what God is training you and I, friends, for these greater works. Couldn't do it yet because we'll build a monument. We'll go to the publishers and have books on it and videos on it and so on. That's most of what you get today, but you don't get that out of the Word of God. Look to Jesus's life and walk and ministry. It's all there. It teaches us because he wanted his Father to be glorified. And so he's healed on the Sabbath. Then the Jews are there and say, do you know you shouldn't be picking up your bed on the Sabbath day? There they are. They're the passive ones of faith. And we've got them all around. You've got your churches filled with them who are negative like that. Couldn't rejoice to the fact that that man had been paralyzed all those years. They're now seeing him healed, restored. They're not at all happy. They really reveal their heart, don't they, you see? And it says in verse 14, and afterwards Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. So in saying, you have been healed, I have touched you, don't sin anymore. Because of what has happened to you, the light that you have, a miracle has happened in your life. In other words, he's trying to give him the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Well, he wants to talk about it. He is human after all, and they're probably pressurizing him like the Jews do. And of course, they suspected who it was, but they just wanted to have the confirmation. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful story, this, like so many of these stories of where Jesus ministered and healed and restored people, saved people, he fed them and so on. But we've been talking today about a passive or an active faith. I don't know about you, but I know what I want. But we don't always walk every second and moment in an active faith. It works in seasons, in times. So don't make a mistake now that every day you've got to walk with an active faith. Your faith believes for an active faith. We know what we believe. We know the passive side of us. We believe the word of God. We believe these promises, but we also believe that we're not only to be hearers, but doers of the word. We also believe that. So from the passive, it turns to the active. And that is what our faith is about. Praise God. Well, bless you all. Thank you again. It's good to share the word with you.
Disaster. Let him in. inconstancy, for